summer retreat, which is called the Vata Rain Retreat, because Buddhism originated in India and Southeast Asia, so that's a monsoon, like a hurricane here, monsoon season, so it's rainy season. So that's where the monks stay put and do retreat. So this tradition goes all the way back to the Buddha's time, because the monks in Southeast Asia or in Theravada countries. And can you hear me in the back? Well, you'd better come close. Yeah, please come close. I'm getting weak. Anyway, the monks there, they do the summer retreat for 3 months. But here, we do it only 5 days. Even that is not really full 5 days. And we have been doing this for close to 40 years. I have been doing teaching that. But even though we do it for 5 days, but it means tradition is alive. in our doing this. And we do it just once a year. usually the end of June through the July 3rd. And so I'm strengthening, I'm trying to improve the quality of this 5-day Yongmen Jeongjin or intensive retreat, because it's primarily intended for teachers. So it can be called a teacher's retreat or teacher's Yongmen Jeongjin, and also MBS students enrolled in Maitreya Buddhist Seminary, inspiring to become Buddhist teachers, and also senior practicing members of our local temples. Of course, we also welcome those who did Yongmen Jeongjin previously, even though they may not be members. So while I'm trying to make it strengthen or make it more strict, this 5-day Yongmen Jeongjin, so the teachers and the MBS students in particular and the senior members would benefit, from doing this, while we have become, throughout the year, our local temples offer 2 or 3 day of a winter retreat. So we have become more flexible with the 2 days or 3 days or winter retreats, so allowing people to come even for half a day, accommodate. So please keep that in mind. It is being strict means it's more demanding. Now, that means given your situation, you have to do your utmost. I usually say this, but I mean it. Now, the three pointers for this young man, Jiang Jun, is the first one is Buddha mind. In East Asian Buddhism, the word mind, which comes from Chinese character xin, you know, it's also Vietnamese, Koreans and Japanese, they use this Chinese character for meaning mind. You remember the Heart Sutra, but the Sanskrit word for heart is Hridaya, which is actually literally means it's heart. Heart is you know, an important organ of our body, maintaining circulation of blood. But it also means like something very important, something central. So it's Heart Sutra is an important sutra, even though it is just one page. Then you see also the same thing is Bodhicitta. Citta is also mind. This mind is like a seat of a consciousness. It takes, you know, the five skandhas, excluding the form, you know, the rest, feeling, perception, impulse, and consciousness, the seat of a consciousness, or seat of intellectual activities. While hurt would mean, you know, like courage or emotions or enthusiasm or will. But it's when we say Buddha mind or sometimes Buddhahood, Buddha heart, they are the word is used synonymously meaning both. So it's Buddha mind or Buddha heart, or more correctly, Bodhicitta is the presence of awakened heart. That's what brings you to Yongnan Zhengjin doing this, which you have to rely on throughout Yongnan Zhengjin. So keep that in mind. It is your Buddha heart or Buddha mind that brought you to this Yongnan Zhengjin training. The second point is constant practice, but I actually mentioned the power of a constant practice, but you know, kind of omitted because of space. So the power of a constant practice, I usually give this formula. Over and over again, always, that's number one, always fresh in this moment, number two. Once again, you practice number three, and you begin to shine. And I usually compare that to sunlight breaking through the clouds over and over again in order to shine again. So such is at least one power of a constant practice. You always practice in this very moment, not before, not after. That's the presence of your awakened heart. So that's understood by the word constant. Over and over again, using the power of constant practice. And then finally, awakening. So you see, when you do the constant practice using the power that comes with it, the awakening is there, latent, inherent. It's the same as, we say, the threefold training, Siksha Triyanya or Tri Siksha, is Sila, Samadhi, and Prajna. Sila, we just put it aside. Sila is the basis. While in lay Buddhism, it is emphasized the monastics, they already they are already protected by walls and rules. But you are not practiced by walls and rules. So that's why I say it's ethical discipline. It's got to be the true person sitting there to be practicing meditation, not daydreaming. And so then the samadhi and prajna, they bring it together. Samadhi is present in prajna, and prajna is present in samadhi power. The same thing here. It's constant practice and awakening, they go together. So those are the three pointers. Now, as you know, the three important things we do in Yongmeng Jeongjin, advanced retreat, is of course it's a Chamsan, or the Japanese word Zazen, meditation. Sitting in the form of a sitting. And then it's called Ipsil, it's interview. And then work practice. Those are three legs of the pot. And then of course here we add to enrich the Yongmeng Jeongjin, we do rub down, early morning rub down, and 108 prostrations. That's unique to our tradition. Some of you may have a love and hate relationship with the prostrations and rub down, but it just takes, you know, less than a minute to get into that, you know. You see, I live in a one-bedroom apartment, and every morning I have been doing exercise in the bathtub. The one thing is still finding mysterious. How Sunim can do exercise in the bathtub for more than 30 minutes? So I go through a series, you know, counting all it helps, you know. And I actually do, you know. So first, this bathtub is quite deep, actually, you know. It's, because it's such a small place, I have no other place. This bathtub is just the right space where I can do exercise. So, first I open windows to get fresh air in, and then have two full glasses. It's beer glass, the beer glass, of cold water, kind of distilled water, which I keep in the refrigerator. So I bring it out and drink it. And that usually helps me enjoy good bowel movement. And then I turn cold water. This thing is very strange. You know, sometimes you turn cold, but cold water gushes out, and then it turns into right away into hot water. So they back and forth. You can never tell. I never figured out that they have some kind of different system over there. And so it helps to you know, have water running while I'm doing exercises. So first I would do it 15 minutes, and I increased now. is 35 minutes and 40 minutes doing exercise. And then I do, you know, I go to the window where the fresh air, still, you know, there's the traffic is not much, so I can breathe in deep, you know. It's abdominal breathing, breathe in deep, and then breathe out 20 times or 25 times. So that's the extent of my exercise. The reason I'm sharing this with you is, well, the drink cold water the first thing when you wake up, it's pretty good for your health. And then, of course, you bring your own exercise and prostrations. You know, in the apartment, I don't do prostrations. And then breathing in deep. So when you feel lethargic, inevitably you do that, in particularly in late afternoon in this weather. And then you get distracted. And breathe in deep. It always helps. It helps you wake up and bring your focus back, get your focus back, attention back. Now, is Duan Sinling went over the orientation. So here, following schedule faithfully, the schedules are your teacher, Dharma. So you make vow to follow the schedule faithfully. Each moment. You all you have to stay is just stay in each moment, always fresh each moment, using the power of a constant practice. The others are the duty persons, they'll take care of you. They would make meals and prepare work practice and everything. You have to just stay in each moment. Flowing together in all in one and in one in all situation. Now, it's, you may have seen this Zen painting. Deaf, mute, dumb persons crossing the Logo Bridge, holding Logo Bridge. But then each of you become deaf, mute, and dumb. Or blind. Blind, mute, and deaf. And crossing the river, holding onto Logo Bridge. That's how you do your Yongnan Jiangjin. If you can do that, you will be very successful doing the Yongnan Jiangjin. It's better than I say. So many times, unknowing mind, the power of unknowing mind. And in Zen teachings, in Sun teachings, they would say the same message in a variety of ways. The other expression is, if you try to stay alive, you die. If you die, or if you drop dead, then you become alive. Do you get that? It's if you die to yourself. It's like so here is being mute, blind, and deaf. It's like being dead. Then, what is it that is alive here? Itself is like water. Now, speaking of water, is usually some students work on hardware while others work on counting, usually outgoing breath. Still others working on Hana meditation. Still others, for a variety of reasons, they recite Great Compassion Dharani or chant Buddhas and Bodhisattvas' names. But I'll just talk about Hado students. Now, if you have been Hado students 6 months or 1 year or 2 years or 3 years, if you ever discussed your Hado practice with others, with your family members, then that Hado is no good. It's dead. I tell you that. So you are no longer Hado student. If you receive Hado, you must stay with the Hado throughout your life. Even you take it with you when you die. That's why the disciples of the teachers or monks at the moment of try to breathe their last breath, they challenge them, how is your way, is your heart? Is your heart awake? Are you taking it with you? So it's you have to keep it deep secret. Only you know how it is, how joyful, how painful. You just keep it like that. And of course, if you like to change your Hado, then you change your teacher. You can always go to the other teacher and get Hado, but not with the same teacher. But of course, you can sometimes discuss it with your teacher. If you have such a difficulty with your Hado, but it's just such a relationship between you and your teacher as Hado student. Now, some people is non-Hado students is of course, when you are MBS students and teachers, they are all my disciples. They are obliged to come for interview, unless there is a special reason. But others who are not MBS students, that means they are not my disciples, not formally, or non-teachers or members, then depending upon your situation, you know, how to practice can be very stressful. So you don't have to come for interview, because it may aggravate your situation. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes!
It's very important that you know this. Particularly if you're on medication or, you know, go to, you know, therapist and all that. So, and this applies to all non-Hado students. Even Hado students, I may not be completely aware of their situation, because sometimes I usually get to see just once a year. I have to find out where you are. And of course, if you are already working with some teachers, then you don't have to come for interview. Now, also, I would not allow once you come for interview once and then you stop coming. I would not allow that. If you don't come, you don't come from the very beginning. Not coming when you like, and not coming when you don't like. Is this all clear?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I'm still talking about kind of interview. I usually mention this a number of times during the Yongnam Jeongjin. You line up when you come for interview. And of course, this is a constant practice, the power of constant practice. So whether formally sitting in meditation, or walking, going to bathroom, or during the work practice period, you have to keep practicing constantly. This is your utmost struggle. Keep your heart of practice, keep your counting constant. You know how it is, how easily your mind runs away, and then, but never mind, as soon as you become aware, right there, the power of constant practice comes. And over again. Even, you know, the Japanese, they made this Bodhidharma door. You cannot knock it down. It always bounces back. As I say, you fail 108 times, never mind. 108 times fail, never mind. 109th time, you're back to your practice. Such is the power of constant practice. That's why it's this kind of a Yongnam Jeongjin. I use the word advancing, advanced. It's actually advancing practice. It's like a climbing up mountain. You don't look back. Well, there is this Korean story. This some disaster would fall. So until you climb to the peak, the top of the mountain, you never look back. Then. Some people, they look back, you know. And then, you know, like all of a sudden, you catch yourself taking your old laundry, making a list of it. Then, from there, that becomes stone Buddha. You're fixed there. You cannot go down, you can climb back. The peak. There's this story. You know, Buddha is like statue that's, you know, fixed, immobile. So you don't look back. You're with the power of constant practice, advancing, each and every moment, flowing together as one body. So, and it's so when you're in line for interview, your attention is heightened. That's the best time to practice. So you bring the power of this constant practice into interview room. First you do, you know, when you come into the room, you make a deep bow. Don't do prostration, just deep bow. That means you surrender everything, body, mind. Surrender everything. Surrender, you know, if you're in bad mood, you surrender your bad mood. You know, you're fighting with yourself, you know, everything surrendered while sitting down. Surrender everything. Now, first thing you do is you do your practice out loud so that I could hear your practice. And then if I ask a question, like this is relevant to other students, and then your answer is just don't know. Don't know is a reply. It's an answer. It's not the opposite of knowing. It's absolute meaning. Your body mind is unknowing mind. You just don't know anything. It's a pitch dark. Completely dark. So all your huddle, you hold on to that. Only the heart is guiding you. So that's the power of don't know, you say, don't know. If you don't have that, then you get caught with your emotion, such as like embarrassment and this and that. So you say, don't know, with the power of unknowing mind. Unknowing mind prevails. That's an advanced stage in non-dual practice of wisdom. All the distinctions, differences, everything gone. It's almost like a close to great liberation, the state of unknowing mind. So all you hang on to your practice. And then when I ask the same question second time, you just state, repeat your practice. That's also reply answer. Because that's where you are. So is this clear?
Yes.
And sometimes you can ask that if you have a, you know, the, what we call karmic obstacles are bound to persist in spite of your best intention, but you get distracted by that or troubled by that. Of course, the best thing is you just, whatever it is, you stay with your practice. That's advancing, that's climbing up, leaving behind, leaving your laundry behind. But certainly, you know, I mean, you can bring it up. I can also mention, you know, ask that. But what you should not be doing is bring out your laundry. That is not allowed. It's not helpful at all. Well, while I understand, I'm sympathetic, but my duty is to urge you on advancing path, Bodhisattva path. So, particularly to hard students, is this all clear?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Now, usually each morning, I remind you your practice, but you have to come up with your own vow. 1, 2, or 3 vows. And then keep renewing your vows. And then come up the power, the what do you call it, vow power. Like you usually remind you, it's after rub down, after 108 prostrations, the first sitting, you do hop down. At the beginning of first sitting, you do hop down, and remind yourself with the vow. Usually this vow is related to your practice. Like I'll keep the power of constant practice all day long. Now, it's even though we do this almost like as one body, some people are more experienced or better sitters, while others are not. So given your situation, each of you, everyone can do it. You can always do your best. When I say doing your utmost, it's not goofing off. You know, some people sometimes during the rest period, you see, it follows rhythm, so you can always take some space, go down during the break, and drink cold water. Or if you are so feel hot or heat or whatever, and I would allow you to go quickly down, and you have to do it skillfully and take a cold shower. During this Yongmen Yengji, you are not allowed to use hot water. I usually turn over hot water completely, then the kitchen crew, they complain. So I said, but don't use hot water. It's you can take a cold shower. It takes about 2 minutes to refresh yourself. And even while resting, you know, or even lying down during the rest period, like after lunch, you keep practicing. It's powerful. Sitting, lying down, standing, keep practicing constantly. That's the only thing you have to do. You have a freedom to do that. This is path for great liberation. Here, great means not just your own liberation. We do it together. So many people come to know that they are Buddhas, potentially originally Buddhas, because there is one awakened Bodhisattva. So you come up with your vow and stay with your vow. That means awake with a power of constant practice. Awake with your practice, with your padra.